And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Savage Opress is on a quest to find his long-lost brother. Could Darth Maul truly be alive after more than a decade since his gruesome bisection at the blade of Obi-Wan Kenobi? There will be animal spaceships, Savage screaming at things, and the return of a fan-favorite character that will stick around through Rebels. We're talking about brothers this week. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, pretty good.
We are getting ready for Black Thursday and Black Friday at work.
We're getting ready to finish off this season, too. This is the next to the last episode, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were just talking to Brian Weber, and I was, like, looking at the schedule, and I think we're only going to get, like, in, like, two commentaries before the 100th episode, so not as many as we did last year, but still, I mean, still a good number.
Well, I always figure if we want to do more, we can still do more.
Yeah.
The 100th episode won't stop us from doing stuff in between.
Yeah.
In between seasons.
The 94, 95, 96, 97. Yeah, the 100th episode should come out the first week, but I was looking at it, and that leaves us Force Awakens and Rogue One off between the episodes of where we are now, because Crisis in Naboo just went up. So, yeah. So, unlike last year, instead of doing four commentaries, if we just want to do commentaries in December, there might only be two of them. But yeah. I think Season 5 and Season 6 are both shorter, so we'll have a lot of time to kill next year.
Well, we kind of hoped beyond hope that we would, like, hit the exact same thing where we could time it, like, okay, December has those four in-between shows. But, man, we got close. We came pretty close. We're going to come pretty close.
We had a couple extra episodes this year, like the celebration episode, and then when I went to 221 BCon, in the Dragon Con report, I think those are the ones that like threw us off a little bit. So, but because I think last year when we had we put them out as 0.5 episodes the same week as an episode, and this year we put them out as the episode for the week. So I think that's what it is. Hey, there's a picture of me and Brian for the Dragon Con episode. So yeah, we just got finished talking about to Brian Weber for the 100th episode. We're done recording for that, except for our bit.
Yep. Now I just have to go through and edit up all the little pieces, and then you and I have to do our little
spiels.
Our little spiels back. For it, and we'll let all that work we've already done do the rest.
You know what I kind of want to do right before that? I want to go back and listen to the very first episode just to hear the difference between then and now. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe have, like, little snippets. Like, maybe not even the movie, but, like, the first episode ambush where we were, like, trying our formula. Because with the movie, we were just going through it and stuff like that. But I think, like, the first time we sat down with a Clone Wars episode, I kind of want to go back and listen to that just to hear how
it's different. It's funny when you said the first episode ambush, I wasn't thinking the first episode titled ambush. I thought you were thinking that would be the name of the segment, and that, like, during the show, just randomly, like, embarrassing parts from the first episode would pop out and ambush us, and we'd call it the episode one ambush.
Let's do it anyway, Chris. It's fine.
I don't know. I'm going to have to listen to episode one and see how ambushy it is.
Yeah.
Because by the time we started J-Guys and Jedi, we were old pros, and it was pretty much perfected.
But we were still figuring out our format. Like, we didn't have the candy segment.
No candy.
Did we have Dirty Yoda?
Yes, I think we started Yoda from the very beginning. I think we did all the platitudes with Yoda. And I think that's the only thing that's been there since the beginning.
So yeah, we'll see. But we're officially, this is episode 96, so we're officially 4 episodes away. Yay! You ready to get into it?
I am ready.
Though I have a pre-note before I get into the rest of my notes. I started noticing this is the season where they kind of ran out of really creative titles, and they started resorting to one-word titles, mm-hmm. like Brother, Massacre, Deception, Kidnapped, Prisoners, Bounty, and Revenge.
And they're all pretty much on the nose, too.
Yeah, like, I remember, like, earlier it was, like Fighters for Peace or whatnot, or, like, Deceptions in the Dark, or Innocence of Ryloth. That was the only one I got right out of all the three I just said. But they used to be, like, really, really creative, but now this season they're just like, oh, what are we going to call this one? We can't call it Mall Spider Legs.
Maybe they were just, like, really, like, sitting around going, you know, I just like the elegance of one-word titles. And, you know, but the thing, that's what I love about Clone Wars is it sort of evolved, you know, they'll have a whim for a while, you know, and they'll follow through with it, and well, let's just do one-word titles for a while, you know?
You know, though, I think probably the best title of the season is still Carnage of Krell. That just sounds good. That just sounds so good. Oh, shit, I have a Rex Solution.
Carnage of Krell sounds like the most evil soup in the world. Like, you know, like cream of... It's like the evil cream of broccoli.
It sounds like something that will destroy your intestines.
Yeah.
The Carnage of Krell.
Oh, yeah, it's like super spicy hot. Yeah.
Made with, like, ghost chilies. The Krell chilies.
Yeah, and it was a special in that guy's diner in episode 2. That's what they called the chili in his diner. Dax or whatever.
Dax was like the long lost cousin of Krell, and he was like, I heard my cousin was a dick. Let's make a chili after him.
I think it was Jax Daxon or Dax Jackson, something like that. It must have been Jax Daxon, because if his last name was Jackson, he'd have the same name as the rabbit from the comics, and I would have noticed that by now.
Hold on, I'll look it up. Dax Star Wars. I'm typing with one hand. Juarez. Come back. It's Dexter...
Star Juarez. That's the Mexican version of Star Wars.
It's Dexter Jetster.
Okay.
So they call him Dex for short.
Dexter Jetson. I'm just going to call him George Jetson from now on.
Aw, Jetson! We should get into the episode.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars. Talk about those Star Wars comics. Not really, just kidding. Alright, ready?
I'm ready.
Brothers is the 87th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on March 9, 2012. It was written by Katie Lucas and directed by, and I'm so proud, I looked up how to say this guy's last name just to make sure I said it right. So yeah, go internet. Thank you for helping me. And it was directed by Bosco Ng. Some extra information for you. Sam Witwer makes his debut as Darth Maul and plays the character all the way through Rebels. Witwer's other works include Once Upon a Time, the U.S. version of Being Human, Battlestar Galactica, Dexter, and Smallville. Clancy Brown returns to voice of Ajo Press. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I realized recently he's also the voice of Ryder in Star Wars Rebels, and he also just voiced Surtur in Thor Ragnarok, which I was like... When I was watching Thor Ragnarok, the whole time Surtur was on screen, I was like, why does he sound so familiar? I can't put my finger on it.
Who is Surtur again?
He's the big fire demon in the
movie.
Oh! Yeah, he's the voice of Savage in Ryder in Rebels. But like, I just, every time he was on screen, I was just staring at the screen going, I know who this is. I know I do. And I had to go home and look it up, and I was like, oh, it's Savage! Okay, ha ha ha! So... I have to say, Ryder also had my favorite line in this season of Rebels so far. Are you all caught up with Rebels?
No.
Well, this is...
I'm even further behind because there's two new ones out as of when we're recording, right? Those are the mid-season finale, right?
They only released one. It was one episode.
Okay.
So you just went behind.
But man, they squeezed that whole half season out real fast by putting them out two at a time.
I both loved it and hated it, because on one hand I was like, extra Star Wars goodness, but on the other hand I was like, oh god, we're done already, why?
I mean, you could stretch it out and watch them one at a time, but it's kind of hard, you know, when they come out in pairs like that and the stories are almost paired.
Yeah.
You almost kind of want to watch them back. I've been watching them back to back. No, I have to watch last week's and then the two that are out now, so I'm four behind.
No, there's that last week was the finale. There's none. Nothing came out this week.
Oh, okay. So I'm two behind.
You're one behind.
Oh, it was only one.
Yeah, that's
what
I said. Chris isn't using his listening skills, but I just want Clancy Brown.
Didn't take my brain pills today.
But Clancy Brown had my favorite line in Rebels this year, of this season, where Zeb is like, when Jedi weird things happen, it's a good thing. And Ryder went, how are you people still alive? That was my favorite line of the season. Anyway, back to extra information notes. This was the first episode in the series where the opening logo is red instead of yellow. The same red opening logo is also seen in the following episode, Revenge, still featuring Darth Maul and his brother. The diner scene originally began with a waitress droid, Morrigo, not having much luck getting Opressa's order and passing off the customer to her human colleague, Sassy. When Sassy reaches toward Opressa's amulet, he reacts violently. Also in the script, the cook Lubo is holding a blaster, which in the spaceport of... I lost my spot. The cook Lubo is holding a blaster, to which the spaceport police droid says, Lou, are you crazy? Pointing that thing at a Jedi... Changing the prop to a frying pan turned this moment into a joke. Also, Lubo the cook has a tattoo on his right arm with a double heart that says Mom in Arabish.
Aww.
You never seen Mommy.
You know who else has a tattoo?
Wait, what? And do I want to know where?
Where I will not say. But, also says Mom. But you know what? When upside down Yoda is, it says, wow.
Did I ever tell you the running joke about my stepdad's apparent tattoo?
No.
It's one of those things that, like, my stepdad and my mom say it all the time. And all of us kids, like, just kind of sit there. And it's kind of like an awkward, like, wandering. Because, like, on one hand, like... I want to know the truth, but on the other hand, I really don't.
You really don't, yeah.
But apparently, my stepdad has a tattoo of the road runner on his penis.
Oh.
And I'm just like, ew! But on the other side, I was like, what does it look like? And I was like, I don't want to see it. But I just want to know the tattoo, not the actual place. And I'm like, this has to be them bullshitting us. They have to be, but they're like, my mom and my stepdad are so insistent. Like, they're super lit. They're like, no, for real.
You've seen Roadrunner cartoons, right?
Yeah.
So when the Roadrunner runs, he stretches out and distorts. Whenever somebody talks about having a tattoo on their penis, it's usually a joke having to do with whatever that's going to change from being... stretched out, you know. I'm trying to remember what the oldest penis tattoo joke is, but it was, you know, that they would have a word on it that would be one word, but then when it stretched out, you would get a bunch of other letters, you know. So.
Why did I bring this up? Yoda, tell me where your tattoo is. Let's change back the subject.
Wow. Man, I was not expecting that you would ever beat the pudding hung from the penis piercing, but Roadrunners, yeah, beep beep. Anyway.
Apparently, I don't remember this.
I hope the name of the tattoo parlor you got it at was Acme Tattoo Parlor.
Apparently, I told my coworker Christy about my love of how I think, like, uncircumcised penises are cute, but I don't remember her telling this. And I was like, Christy, have I ever told you this? She's like, they do look like turtlenecks, Hope. And I was like, oh, I have. Sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. I forget things at work. I talk a lot of shit at work, it's fine. Hey, what's the platitude this week, Yoda?
A fallen enemy may rise again, but the reconciled one is truly vanquished. In bed!
Beep beep, Roadrunner rises again. Beep beep.
Beep beep. Freeze frame. Penicus erecticus.
Yeah, I'm going to see my stepdad in 2 days. I'm going to be like, guess what? You're on my podcast. I talked about you. And he's going to be like, what'd you talk about? I'm like, I'm not going to tell you.
You're a dick.
Your parent tattoo.
We talked about your penis on our podcast.
Thanks, stepdad.
What did you say? Tune in and find out. That's how you get. That's how we're going to get all our listeners one by one by talking about their genitals and then telling them that that's what we were talking about on the show. They can't not listen.
Really?
If somebody was just like, Hope, we were just talking about your vajayjay on our podcast the other day, would you not listen to that podcast?
Oh, that's a good point. Let me find a list of actors I want to talk to.
It's just human nature, yeah. We'll just start, yeah, exactly.
Start naming off actors that I love and be like, by the way, I talked about your penis. And that's
well, then you have to depend on that those actors are sitting home Googling their name and then the word penis.
And that's how Hope got a restraining order. Yeah.
And that's the story of Hope's restraining order. We tell it every Christmas.
Oh, God. All right, Act 1.
Act 1.
God, this is a weird episode already.
Already, yeah, for sure.
Did you like the episode?
I did like this episode.
Good.
Maybe not as much as I could have liked this episode, but I did like it.
I felt like this episode could have used a little trimming, and I didn't put it in my notes, but like in the middle part, like a little bit of trimming to like really have that boom at the end. But I didn't put that in my notes, but that's my overall feel. I think if it got trimmed up a bit, like the end could have been like a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah.
As almost all of my notes are in the third act.
The third act.
I barely have it in Act 1. All right, Act 1, speaking of acts, Act 1. So last season, Savage Opress was chilling out in his village with all his bros, minding his own business, when Asajj Ventress rolled into town, and she was all like, yo, I need a dude to help me kill Count Dooku. And the men had a Hunger Games-like tournament, which Chris magnificently edited that episode. I still love it. Still one of my favorites. And Savage volunteered as tribute to save his wimpy brother. So he left with Ventress, met Mother Talzin, and they gave him a personality lobotomy to turn him into Frankenstein's monster. He killed his wimpy brother and went to be Ventress's assassin. They failed to kill Count Dooku. Savage betrayed Ventress, and then he went home to Mother Talzin, who was all like, yo, you got a real brother now. And Savage is like, whoa, mind blown. I have a brother that I didn't kill. Nice. And then he was all like, yeah, here's some magical bullshit talisman that will lead you to him. And Mother Talzin was like, bye now. So Savage is now off to find his real brother. On to this week. So Dooku is chatting on the phone with Grievous, like, so that Savage guy is, like, really a pain in my side. He's a threat to me, but he's also, like, a threat to the Jedi. And Grievous is like, do you want to sit this one out and find some popcorn and watch what happens? And Dooku's like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Can you even eat popcorn? And then Grievous is all sad because he can't eat popcorn unless it's like doused in oil. Meanwhile, Savage is terrorizing a diner because they only had Pepsi and he wanted Coke, damn it. And he runs and finds some crates with some fancy dust on them. His magic talisman bullshit reacts to it, and it's a clue about his brother. Mother Talzin, who apparently didn't die a few episodes back in the Night Sister Massacre, starts making preparations for the brothers to meet. Savage hops on a cargo ship and finds out the dust-covered boxes came from a planet called Lotho Minor. He commands the pilot to take him there, and the pilot is all like, man, it would really suck if he killed me or something, so, like, don't do that. Back on Tatooine, bounty hunters Lats Razi apparently didn't hold it against Ventress that she blew their mission and the ladies are getting drinks together. But Asajj is super tense as she's starting to sense Savage's power growing. Anakin and Ahsoka arrive at the diner because Anakin wants some real food, not Republic ration sticks. They find the police there and hear that it was just an altercation. Everyone's okay and the Jedi sit down to get a meal. Nearby, the pilot and Savage take off. Anakin senses a disturbance in the Force, but he's not quite sure what it is. What did you think of Act 1?
Well, I was getting all excited because there's some Greevy. But I'm just getting another Greevy tease in this one.
It's kind of a disjointed act. Like, they throw in these, like, side things with, like, Dooku and then Ventress and then Anakin and Ahsoka instead of having just, like, and it all breaks up, like, Savage's stuff. And on one hand, I kind of like that because I like seeing how they're all kind of starting to ping him on their radars. But at the same time, like, it does kind of disrupt the flow of his stuff. So I like it and I dislike it at the same time because I think it's nice to see, like, all the different kinds of Force users from Dooku to Anakin to Ventress are all just like,
oh,
something is out there. It well, is weird.
This comes to one of my, I have one note in common with you, so I'm just going to wait till you say it. But I also have very few notes on this. And I also just lost a note to it because I realized that it's actually in the next part. But Dooku says something like, "There, I feel something sinister rising." And it's like, shouldn't Dooku like something sinister rising? isn't that like right up his wheelhouse? Should, you know, I mean, I understand like Anakin and like Yoda going, something sinister rising. But like with Dooku, it's like,
I think Maul's a threat to Dooku because Dooku replaced Maul. So I think if another Sith Lord showed up.
Yeah, but they don't know it's Maul. They just know it's something. They just know something dark side of the Force is happening, which they should be like, ooh, maybe this could be a new, you know, maybe there could be a new Sith. Although, you know, I understand that they're probably thinking like, oh, this doesn't bode well for us either.
I feel like Dooku's a person, he likes everything controlled, and like something is rising that might be outside of his control. And like, we know that Dooku's already kind of sort of planned about killing Palpatine, because him and Asajj were like, we should totally kill the Emperor. And she's like, yeah, that sounds like fun, man. And then, Ventress, everything happened with Ventress. But, like, we know that Dooku eventually plans to kill Palpatine one day. So maybe he's just like, huh, I don't know if I can control that, though, to take on another Sith Lord. It's a little, I think it's concerning to him because, A, it's probably going to eventually come for him. And, B, I feel like Dooku's a big control freak. And, like, he likes things being neat and orderly within his grasp.
I just thought the line, there's something sinister rising, would sound better coming out of a Jedi mouth, and Dooku saying something like, I sense something that poses a danger to our, you know, to our cause or whatever.
I mean, it's just having
Dooku call something sinister is like, it just doesn't seem like it's not a, it should be a compliment.
I think for him, he doesn't like the wild card. Like, if there is something, because you're right, they don't know if it's Maul. But as soon as he knows that it's Maul, it's going to be one of those things of like, oh my God, Palpatine, he knows you're the Emperor. This is bad.
I'm just splitting hairs on the word. I think they shouldn't. I'm just talking to the writers. You could use, said something different than sinister, because when I think sinister, I think of Dooku, you know?
Something evil this way comes?
It was a super nitpick. And my other note is just me not hearing right and then not going onto the internet and check. I thought they said Lothal Minor when they talked about the planet where they were going to.
Oh, so you
thought they were going to Lothal Minor, huh? Oh, I did not know, like, there was some Lothal, you know? And I could see Lothal Minor being like a moon of Lothal or something like that. So I was like, oh, I wonder if this is connecting up with Rebels, you know, where, and so I was eager to see Lothal Minor, which obviously was not Lothal.
Yeah, that would have been nice if they were planning it that early, but I don't think they were.
Well, I wasn't thinking that they'd planned it that early, but they might have gotten the name by going back and pulling it from, you know, pulling it from the back and then retrofitting it. But that's all I really had for notes.
I'm wondering, what is Lothal's first appearance?
Right, episode one of Rebels, right?
Oh, apparently it was mentioned in a Phantom Menace book.
Oh, okay.
It was in Star Wars Journey as the Phantom Menace, but it was mentioned early. And It was mentioned in Lost Stars. So, yeah. So, it goes back all the way. And it's probably one of those planets they had in, like, George Lucas's, like, big book of planets. So, well, I only had two notes for this section.
One of them is one of my notes.
The red Clone Wars title card.
I love it, yeah.
It's really cool.
It's one of those things you don't really think about until you see it in red and go like, oh, they've never done that before. It's just jarringly different.
Yeah, it stands out. It's nice.
Yeah, it looks sharp. Yep.
And my only other note is, you know, Mother Talzin doesn't seem to care that her entire race of lady warriors were killed a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, well, you know, like I think I said a few episodes on the for the episode for Massacre. I think Mother Talzin's like Yoda, where she's, you know, and where you're deeper into the Force, or you also, like, say, Bendu have, like, an insanely long lifespan and stuff like that. Something like the whole wiping out of the Night Sisters to her is like, they're all wiped out, but they'll be back in 200, you know, it'll take 200 years for the fountain to start spitting out some new Night Sisters or something, you know. It's to Mother Talzin, to me, it seems like maybe she sees it all as a larger pattern. So she's not upset by it because she sort of knows every once in a while they're all going to get wiped out and have to start from scratch, and, you know, she'll have to float around in her corporeal form or however it's done. But, yeah, I think she's playing a bigger game than everybody else. So
yeah,
she won't get upset by things that upset us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she's... Because, I mean, we talked about in the Massacre episode, too, like, she, you know, Ventress was like, Savage betrayed me, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, but, like, we know that, like, she helped Savage. So I feel like she's putting eggs in the man basket right now, and she's like, here, Savage, go find your brother, it's important. Actually, we find out in the Son of Dathomir comic that Maul is her actual biological son.
Oh.
Yeah. So that is canon, that Talzin is Maul's mom. So, like, so I feel like maybe she's like, here, go save my son. It'll be fine. Have fun. But, like, I won't tell anybody else about it. Oh, no, the Night Sisters are dead. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. So I feel like she's kind of putting her eggs in, like, the man basket. Because we were talking about that in the Massacre episode, too. Like, where are all the men while all the Night Sisters are being killed? Like, they're just chilling on the other side of the planet. Like, nothing's wrong. And so... I feel she has to have some kind of bigger plan, but I don't know if it's ever clear what her bigger scheme of things is. Like, I don't actually know that. I guess we'll see when we get into later seasons, but I don't think it's ever clear what her big plan is.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice to know, though. If it's all Dooku revenge, though, that's dumb.
Yeah, no, that can't... It's gotta be larger than Dooku. Especially since we know Dooku doesn't really have much longer left to him anyway. So, you know, if she's operating on a larger scale, she probably already knows that, like, Dooku, you know, Dooku will be around in 5 years. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Although it is probably very enjoyable to voodoo boils up on his face, so.
You know, you have to have hobbies when you live, like,
hundreds of
years.
Right, right. It's like playing video games for the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
Just want to sit Yoda, back to relax and...
Yoda puts, weaves beads into his ass hairs.
Well, yeah.
it's like Gimli's beer, but on his ass. It's Oy. Fine.
Space dingleberries.
So, man.
Mm. Crossing the stream with Klingons.
We have fun here. All right, Act Two.
Act Two, and okay. Just in time.
Act Two. Savage and the pilot arrive on Lothar Minor, which is just a burning pile of trash planet used to be used as a dump. Savage's talisman is all glowing now that they arrived, but it suddenly stops glowing, and Savage ejects the poor pilot from the ship. He turns the ship around and lands it on the planet. He sets out into the dusty world. His magical talisman stops working, making Savage scream out of Vader, "No!" But something is out in the trash heaps watching him. An anaconda named Morley slithers out of the junk, and Savage don't have time for a sidekick. Morley offers help for the right price, and Savage makes him an offer that Morley can't refuse. Savage won't kill the snake if he helps. Morley tells him that there is things on the planets like him that are living and breathing. They need to avoid the fire breathers, which are actually droids or ships, I'm not sure, that are there to destroy garbage. And Morley and Savage race through the garbage as the fire breathers are everywhere surrounding them. They make it through to a quieter part of the planet, where they run into the Junkers. Morley is super nervous, besides, Savage don't got time for this. When the Junkers attack, Savage quickly takes care of them, and Morley is super impressed. The snake asks Savage asks what Savage is looking for, and Savage says that he's looking for his brother. And Morley is like, "Wait, does he look like you? I haven't seen him, but I've heard stories of a horned man that drags things below the surface. I just thought it was a legend." And as acid rain begins to fall, they take shelter. Just so happens this shelter is full of dead Junkers hanging from the ceilings and on the walls and stuff. And Savage's talisman starts to glow again. But with only dead Junkers around, Savage thinks that Mother Talzin betrayed him and throws a temper tantrum. And Morley is like, "I am betraying you too now, bye!" and drops Savage down a hole. Morley has a master this entire time and gets to eat Savage when his master is done with him. What do you think of Ecto?
Well, I got a better name for Morley.
Huh.
I'm calling him Tippy the Talking Tapeworm.
I thought you were going to say something like Snarkin.
Nope.
Tippy. Sharkin, farkin, snarkin. We'll just keep it going.
Tippy, the talking tapeworm.
Hi, guys. I'm Tippy. I crawl all through your intestines. Yeah. Yep. I grow really long.
And, and he's like, Savage's little stray dog friend. I love how the junk ship lands at the beginning, how it sort of, like, does a little walking stop.
I had that, too. That's it kind of really reminds cool. me of a big flying turtle, but when it lands, it, like, gallops.
And the fire breathers are really cool too. They're a great idea.
I had that note too. Because they look like animals, like just are like running around, and like there's that one ship that's dumping trash, and one looks up and like opens its mouth and it's just like,
rawr! Yum yum yum. Yeah.
But like I'm assuming that they're ships, not droids. But like they're really cool. There are a lot of really good like designs of ships in this episode.
The Junkers are neat, but they're basically like a combination. They're like basically a robot version of Jawas and Doctor Doom mixed
together. Thinking a little bit closer to the Tusken Raiders, because they lift their
little
things.
Little Tusken
and just start
Raider
screaming.
Too, but yeah. the metal faces just like make me think Doctor Doom. They look like squashed down Doctor Dooms.
I can't tell if they're droids. I don't think they're droids because they die, but they have robot arms, because they have, like, little, you know, those, like, little grabber things that you push a button and it, like, grabs things and picks it up? Their arms are like that, so I don't know if they're
I kind of pictured them as robots that were designed short and compact, and they just dump a bunch of them onto the planet, and they take care of any, like, say, you know, I mean, if you have a junk planet like that, there'd be, like, scrappers, maybe, who are coming to steal stuff off it. So to fight off anything alive that's there, and they also probably maybe like, you know, maybe they deal with the slag that's left over from the fire breathers or something, you know. But I just thought of them as sort of, you know, just like the fire breathers, a component of the planet that are there to, you know, robots there to break down the sort of like evil Wall-Es, you know.
Okay, so I'm looking on it on Wikipedia. The Junkers were a sentient species native to the planet Lotho Minor. Apparently hybrids of organic life and mechanical debris, they scavenged the caustic surface of the ruined homeworld for discarded cybernetics to augment their bodies with.
All right.
So they're both. So they're tiny Grievouses!
Yeah, basically.
Oh, and, man, Grievous would arrive and he'd be like, "Oh my god, my brothers!" And they'd be all like, "Daddy!" And he'd be like, "Yeah!"
Well, speaking of Greavy, the Tippy the Tapeworm, this is my only other note, Tippy the Tapeworm has a really good evil laugh.
Yeah, he does.
That was some good voice acting. That's all I got for this section.
I don't have that much either, and you've already said two of my notes.
I was just going to say, it's all in Act 3. It's all in Act 3.
So my few notes are, maybe just because I just saw Thor Ragnarok, but Lotho Minor is like a non-fun version of the Grandmaster's planet.
Yeah, it's like, there was also a movie that came in the early 90s, I want to say, called Soldier, and it had Kurt Russell as like a, you know, clone soldier that gets discarded. I think it was basically supposed to take place in the same universe as Blade Runner, but he was just, you know, left for dead on a garbage planet, and it reminded me a lot of that too. Yeah, it's definitely not as the Grandmaster's planet's has all that trash, but it's still really colorful trash.
Yeah. And so I was thinking about Savage, and Savage is okay in this episode, because at least he's talking, and he has a little bit more personality since the last time we saw him.
He has really more to do than he's ever had. He has a real, like, motivation and forward momentum, you know. He's had tasks before, but he was just sort of a character doing things in this. And this one, he has something that gives him some forward momentum and a reason to act and react, you know?
Yeah. I still think his first introduction, when he had, like, the wimpy brother to protect, I still think that's his best so far. Just because, like, having that wimpy brother to protect, like, you know that he had that, like, some affection, and he loved that guy, and then, of course, he kills them, so it's, like, extra tragic, and so I still feel like his first introduction.
Yeah, but I remember our conversation of that was really cool and really dramatic, and then after that, he's just used as, like, a killing machine. Clock. Yeah, he loses all, like, interesting stuff as a character after that, you know, there's...
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a little bit better in this episode, yeah. But... still not great. It's not still not the first one. And my last note is, when this is my, like, second time watching this episode. I haven't seen this episode in a couple years, and I completely forgot about the character of Morley. I completely forgot about him. And I think he rides that really fine line between in Star Wars, which is if he was there all the time, he'd probably get annoying. But he's really cool in the time that he's here, and it's introducing this kind of, like, new species, and he's kind of like that trickster where he's like, I'm really nice, I'll help you. And then he's just like, ha ha ha, fuck you.
Eat the apple.
I'll be fine. He kind of reminds me of Randall from Monsters Incorporated. Oh, man, it's Randall. His name is Randall now.
I still like Tippy the Tapeworm.
Sullivan. I'll get you, silly. And you're a little girl, too. But yeah, like, he just... Morley runs that, like, really fine line, but if he was there all the time, I'd probably get really annoyed with him. But I think he's really cool in the time that he's here with us, and
if he was just like a Jar Jar, like, good guy, happy go lucky,
yeah,
he would be a lot less bearable than he is in this, where he has an evil, deceptive, obsequious streak to him, you know. He's a much more interesting character. He's very much sort of like the snake in, if you've ever seen the Disney Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like that. Also, in Jungle Book, because they use similar designs. Yeah, you're right. That's a really good connection. I haven't seen Robin Hood in so long. I want to see it again. It's been a hot minute. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. That's one of my favorite songs in my entire life. That's one of the most beautiful songs ever made by human beings.
The movie that launched a million films. The movie that launched. The movie that launched a million furries.
He's one of my favorites, Roger Miller. One of the greatest country artists ever. One of the just greatest musicians ever. Songwriters, singers.
You know, that's what I got my best friend Megan, the Christmas after she got married. I found a Christmas ornament of Robin Hood and Maid Marian in their wedding outfits, like like walking out the chapel door, and it was a Christmas ornament, and that's what I got her for the Christmas after her wedding. So
yeah, I remember seeing that one when I was a little kid in the theater.
Yeah, man,
it was a double feature with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I really haven't seen Robin Hood in years. I should have watched that again. It's been a while. All right, Act 3.
Act 3. Here's where the action is.
Here's where all the good stuff is. Because it's not just Savage. We went from the two towers of walking for the first
like
13 minutes, and now we're at Return of the King, but not 3 hours long. Anyway,
well, yeah, that tapeworm is very, very Gollum-like.
He really is, my precious. All right, my precious Act 3. Let's go. Savage lands at the bottom of the tunnel, and there's a big spider thing in the background that scurries down the tunnel. Savage uses his lightsaber to light the way and heads down the tunnel as something runs around behind him. He turns a corner and sees some kind of creature in the darkness. As Savage follows, it hurries away from him. Savage chases it into a corner, but it fights back, and they grapple, and Savage's necklace talisman thing glows super bright, revealing Darth Maul with spider legs! Bum, bum, bum! What at all? Maul! I wrote A-U-L. All! Auld Lang Syne. Maul panics and runs away. And Savage is like, stop running away! I have a million questions to ask you! Like, how are you still alive after being cut in half and junk? And he runs after him. And Maul is freaking out, just screaming, no, 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 over and over again. And then he starts to laugh, and then crying, and then laughing again, saying that Savage just doesn't know anything. And Morley shows up at the exact wrong time, and Savage captures him, demanding answers of why his brother is like this. And when Morley doesn't give it, Savage kills him and tosses him into the fire. Maul tells Savage that he's been there for years, free of the chains of the Sith, but it drove him mad, and he rants that the Jedi took his legs, so look out, Obi-Wan, you got Spider-Man coming for you, and it's not the fun Tom Holland one. And Maul says he didn't get a chance at mercy from his master, and he certainly didn't get mercy from the Jedi. He wants some revenge, and that's the most clarity that came out of him from that scene. Back on Coruscant, the disturbances in the Force have reached Obi-Wan and Yoda. Oh, do you want to read this? And Yoda is like,
you butt! You must watch! Alive Darth Maul is!
And Obi-Wan is like, I literally cut him in half. How is that possible? And then Dave Filoni kicks in the door and says, because I wanted it! The end!
We got a million emails!
It was great! You know, Dave Filoni is just like, I have a hat! It's fine! Yeah! Oh, man, so what did you think of Act 3?
Woo! I've seen this one before.
Okay.
Because I remember my reaction.
That's hard to forget.
Now, if I recall correctly, when this came out, wasn't there a lot of, like, split reaction about it? Weren't there a lot of people who were just like, the shark?
I don't know, only just because by the time this episode came out, I was like in the throes of college and I had stopped watching Clone Wars. So I didn't even watch season 4 until a few years ago when I rewatched the entire series.
I think it was a bridge too far.
That was actually my question to you.
I think it was like a bridge too far for a lot of people of just like stretch, you know, because I mean, let's face it, if you take somebody, you know, people live from getting their legs cut off. Darth Maul didn't get his legs cut off like Anakin. He got bisected. He got, you know, he went from the belly button down, you know, that and spine cut and then fell down a long hole. So the story and I don't think I've seen the next episode, but if we ever find out how he got, I mean, now that we were talking about the scrapper things being like, oh, they fashion their own arms and legs, it makes sense that's probably what happened to Darth Maul, is they gave him a nice little spider body when they found him.
But there's still the whole thing, like, how did he get from, like, Coruscant to here without dying?
Right, right. What happened? Actually, you gotta know immediately what happened at the bottom of that hole he fell into, you know?
I guess it cauterized, and he was just like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, but still, it's just like, it cauterized, but, you know, let's be honest. Where are your waste products going to come out in that time, you know? You don't just a cauterized leg or arm.
I mean, if we're really being honest, let's look at Grievous. Like, how is he actually alive?
Well, yeah, but you could see Grievous like that. He's his dying body, and they take him in like Darth Vader, and you know, go through a whole scientific routine of like, all right, let's get the brain in here and here. This is like somebody who got killed in a fight. Somebody had to grab him and keep him alive long enough to get him to the scrap planet where they could fashion him a body or whatever. I'm sure there's going to be the story of how that happened, but at the same time, I think it was a bridge too far for a lot of people. But at the same time, that tarantula body is really cool. And it's unusual. Like, there's been, like, what's that Will Smith movie? The Wild Wild West with that mechanical spider thing and yeah. Stuff and that would sort of, you would expect him to sort of have like, you know, the legs and stuff, but boy, this really, they built him the body of a tarantula, a big fat greasy tarantula, and
yeah,
it looks,
I love,
and moves like a real spider, and it even has like, when you see it close up and he's freaking out, like it has like the mechanical version of the tarantula's hairs, and they're like quivering, you know, from just being, you know, wound up, and it's really creepy, and then he's even creepier because he's sort of like Tippy. He's kind of Gollum like, you know. He's pathetic and babbling, and he's even more Gollum like. I expected him to start asking, you know, you better answer my riddles, or I'm gonna wrap you up in my web. Let's see, what other notes I.
Okay.
I think,
right. Hold on one second before you move on. I just lost it. Where'd it go? Apparently, according to Wikipedia, Maul, through his hate and his will to survive, Maul used the Force to grab an air vent as he was tumbling down the reactor shaft. He then managed to make it to a trash container. Maul's shattered body was dumped on the junkyard world of Lotho Minor. He lives in the bowels of the planet and has legs that are replaced by a six-leg apparatus that allows him to walk again. During his exile, he made a bargain with a sentient, sneaky Anacondian named Morley, who agreed to bring Maul food in return for his leftovers. Over the years, Maul was driven mad with rage and despair, but he remains driven, so he grabbed an air vent.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, not buying it.
Yeah,
and I thought Tippy the Tapeworm's death was just in time. That he, and the best way to keep a character from getting old or getting too much like Jar Jar, squeeze the life out of him and throw him on the fire.
Yep.
And Darth Maul just sort of like, oh, there goes my buddy. Oh well, I got a new buddy.
All right, continue with your notes.
That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, you started on another one. I said, hold on, sorry.
No, that was that was the one. That was Tippy.
Okay, here's my wall of notes. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I remember the first time when I watched this episode a few years back, I was super nitpicky about it. I was just like, that, like, the what? How is Maul here? How did he survive? This is so stupid. Because I wasn't really a Maul fan. But, like, now I'm looking at this through Rebels' eyes. And after seeing Rebels and his full story from beginning to end, I've really fallen for this character. I think
Rebels sort of did a Clone Wars on, like, what Clone Wars did for the original trilogy, where it sort of, you know, redeemed him, the character, to the fans, you know, to the viewers.
Because we got to see, like, what a tragic figure Maul is. Like, he just, like, never had a chance in life.
Watching it now is a lot less... I was just like, oh, no, come on. Because I was just like, oh, this is just, you know, people love Darth Maul and they wanted more of him, so they couldn't resist bringing him back. That's how it felt then. But now, when I watch it, I can at least go, like, all right, where this ends is earned. You know, this takes us to... It ends up going to a place where, this feels more earned, you know, than it was originally.
Yeah. And like right away in this like first intro, like it's fun to see that like madness that led to Maul's demise in the future. And I like, there's a lot in that scene as he's babbling, because he's throwing out just, like, such little things. Like, I pretty much had to pause it, like, every 15 seconds and, like, kind of decipher what he was trying to right. say. Like, I talked about it. So I got a few points of like, what I think he was going for. So, like, I'm about to say some notes, and this is, like, me, what I think he's meaning. So the first one is, like, I would venture a lot of Maul's madness is coming from what the Sith did to him. And the reason I say that is because, like, after reading, like, the prequel comic Darth Maul, where it's, like, him training and Palpatine's like, you're not ready, you're terrible, you're useless, and you can't do anything. The Jedi can't know about you. And Maul was, like, clawing at the walls, like, I just want to kill something. You know, I got a lot of this here, where Maul was, like, saying to himself, like, I'm nothing, I'm Hunter, I'm useless, and then he, like, cried and stuff. And so I started thinking, I'm like Vader, who knew love from Padme. Like, he knew what love is. And we found out in the Marvel comic, you know, he found out he had kids and he was lied to and stuff. Maul never really knew love. And because Palpatine, like, eyed him since he was a child and he took him away from Mother Talzin. So, yeah, like, Obi-Wan cut Maul in half, but some of this madness is straight from his, like, Sith training of Palpatine just never giving him this. Unlike Vader, who, of course, we see gets redeemed. Maul never really gets redeemed. He's just always this mad ball of revenge for Obi-Wan. And I think that's kind of the first, like when he was babbling, like, I'm useless, I'm nothing. I think that was his Sith training. Like, you know, Palpatine probably said those words to him.
Right. Well, I picture Darth Maul as, you know, I mean, having a good deal of deserved bitterness because, you know, he's been a pawn.
But, yeah.
And he was basically created as a killing machine. And first he was a killing machine for Mother Talzin. Then he was a killing machine, you know, a slave. He was a slave. And then he's a killing machine for the Sith.
So, hey, it's kind of like Savage. Like, he's kind of a killing machine now.
Yeah, I'm sure before Mother Talzin turned him over to, you know, it's like Jason Bourne or something like that. You know, before she turned him over to Palpatine or Dooku or whoever. You know,
I think Palpatine stole him.
Right. Oh, okay. But I'm sure he had trained. I'm sure the Night Sisters were training him, and I'm sure it wasn't like fun and games. You know.
Yeah.
They were like. You know, like somebody trains a dog to be mean, that would be how they trained him. And then I imagine once he got into the clutches of the Sith, however he did, that they did their version of that on it. So he's just been a tool to be shaped into an evil killing machine by everybody, and then sent against the Jedi, cut in half and literally thrown away in the trash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would drive you crazy. I imagine just the shock and PTSD about being bisected would do that too.
Yeah. And then another point that I kept hearing Maul talking about, he started ranting about mercy. And at first, like, when I heard him, like, talking about mercy, like, they never showed me mercy, I thought he was talking about Palpatine. Like, you know, like, my master never showed me mercy. But then he kept saying, they never showed me mercy. They, the Jedi, never showed me mercy. And that was such, like, an interesting point to me. Because, you know, Maul was trained as a Sith in the dark side. But I'm wondering that even with killing Qui-Gon, did he expect a light side user like Obi-Wan to show him mercy in that moment? Like, is that what he was... it was such a weird point, because he kept talking, like, they never showed me mercy, that's why
it would have been really weird for him to show... to be shown mercy, because he definitely was not in any kind of mood to be showing any mercy himself, you know?
Yeah, and it was just such a weird point, because he was like, I want revenge on the Jedi, because they didn't show me mercy, they attacked me and stuff, and of course, like, Obi-Wan, like, so I was just wondering, like, was he expecting mercy from a light side user?
Maybe, actually, you know, I'm thinking maybe he was, because maybe they're supposed, you know, That's what, whenever you have good versus evil confrontations in movies and TV show, you always have the evil person say, like, that's your weakness, you know, you have to show mercy, you know, you have empathy for other things, so you can't just you can't just kill me or whatever. So maybe he did. Yeah, maybe he expected Obi-Wan to just cut his lightsaber hand off and take him into custody or something.
Yeah. So that one line stuck out to me. I also just really love the fact that we're already seeing his obsession with Obi-Wan from starting right now, and it takes him all the way through Rebels up to his point of like hunting Obi-Wan to Tatooine. Yeah. It's so good. My God, this episode is like so much better with Rebels because
after Rebels, retroactively Rebels brought it back up.
Yeah, it's so good because like from the get-go, he's just like, I need revenge on Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I'm like, oh, you're not going to get it until twin sons. You poor baby.
You got a long road ahead of you.
Yeah. But I just, like, the Rebels just made this episode so much good. So much better. I also have to say, like, Sam Witwer is so good at voicing Maul. He's just so good. And I've said it before, and I'll probably say it a lot between now and Rebels, that to me, Sam Witwer is more Darth Maul than Ray Park is.
He's spent more time as Darth Maul, and he's had actually more story than Ray Park had. You know what I mean? To work with.
Yeah, like Ray Park, like, you know, created the character and like developed it and stuff like that. But like Sam Witwer is the one that like really made it his own, and just like, just his voice work is great. Just like sliding back.
Ray Park was not given much to do except for a cool fight scene. You know, he was a martial artist. He had his one line, and all he had to do is be menacing and then have fight scenes, and that was Darth Maul's arc. You know?
And meanwhile, you have Witwer that's like sliding between like laughing and sobbing and laughing and sobbing and like having these emotions and this pain and this anguish and this upset and like then laughing again. Like he's so good. He's so good in this role, and this is just a great reason for it. Like, and just another thing. Just like the episode Corruption, we could drink and be drunk by the end of it every time Savage says brother.
Yes, that is totally true. I noticed that totally.
My
says
brother,
a
brother,
lot.
Why are you like this, brother?
But
brother. We're brothers. We're blood brothers. We're like Bloods and Crips, brother. Okay, maybe not Bloods and Crips. It's a terrible example. But we're brothers. Get drunk.
By the brother.
Brothers, you're my sisters of the Yaya sisterhood. Yaya, let's kill Obi-Wan. You know, like, and just like looking back on this episode, it really is an interesting one because, you know, when I first saw this, I hated this episode, but like it's just such an interesting episode that flings open the doors for new possibilities in Clone Wars, because as we were saying in Act 1, you know, now there's a wild card. Yeah, it's not just Separatist and Republic anymore. There's a wild card out there. And Maul being here just is just such a force to be reckoned with. And it just has all these new possibilities that could totally swing the war one way or the other, depending on which side deals with it first. And even then, he could come after both sides and just be like, haha, you all suck, and like conquer. So like, it's, you know, thinking back on it, like, I hate that I hated it, because it's actually a really good thing, because we saw in Act 1 how both Dooku and now in Yoda in Act 3 are both like, something big is happening. What is happening? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties nicely into my last note. I do like how throughout this episode, though, that both sides of the Force, like Dooku, Ventress, Yoda, and Obi-Wan, all since that Maul was back, both sides realize that they're not safe anymore, and shit's really about to get real. And it's just a nice through line that we see through other characters of Maul's impact on the future stories, because seeing these different characters kind of having a tiny, like, heart palpitations, like, something's bad about to happen. It's nice because we get that, like, that both sides of the stories, and they're all not sure what to do, and it's nice. Then I like Obi-Wan at the end just being like, oh, I killed him. And Yoda's like, yeah, but he's back.
Yep, maybe he did, but that doesn't mean he's not on my radar. I don't know what to tell you.
Kill him better next time, Obi-Wan. You could have killed him better. I think Obi-Wan actually has a future line where he's just like, oh, you look nice. I should have aimed for your neck.
Or just gone from the top to the bottom down the middle. That would have done the trick. No grabbing garbage cans that way.
So, I know you've seen this episode, but I know you haven't seen future episodes. And this isn't in my notes, so I'm throwing this question at you. What do you think is going to happen with Maul? I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Well, obviously, I know he's going to lose the legs and set out after Obi-Wan. I don't know if we're going to have him meet Obi-Wan for a while. I already know that he has a tenure with Mandalore, you know, that I've read about and heard overheard and heard things about that. So I know that's coming. So I just sort of have a vague I have a feeling we're going to see him. He's definitely going to run into Obi-Wan. But knowing what I know from Rebels, there's going to be no definitive conclusion to it, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a feeling since the show never finished up, we're just going to see sort of like set up to what might have been originally a final confrontation between the two that never happens.
Yeah.
And then by by Rebels happening, it allowed the Filoni and crew to go like, oh, okay, we can resolve this, you know? And I think when they brought Darth Maul back in Rebels, they knew that's where they were going to take it, you know?
They kind of said that in the...
Spoilers.
In Rebels Recon, they talked about that a little bit. They're like, you know, we definitely wanted to resolve that ourselves. We were the ones that brought back Darth Maul. We wanted to be the ones that finished his story. They didn't want that to be an overhanging thread going into the future. So I'm actually really happy that they tackled that story on their own. But, well, that's all I have for the episode. You want to score it up?
Yep. Now, if I scored this totally in the mindset of, like, I know where Darth Maul's story arc goes and retroactively makes this better, this would have gotten probably a 9, even with the Greavy tease. But I still, when I watched it, I remember I docked it a point down to an 8 because I remember, you know, that watching this and going, oh, not only did they bring Darth Maul back, but it's just even extra fanficky that he's back with spider legs, you know? It's like, what could make Darth Maul cooler? Spider legs.
Well, it is a Katie Lucas episode, and we know she tends to be right. A little fanficky.
Right, and it reminds me of something that would happen years and years and years later. Have you ever seen that Patton Oswalt rant from the TV show he was on where he's trying to take up time at a meeting and so he starts talking about what he wants to see in the new Star Wars movie, and it's like, and you know, Chewbacca gets killed, but he comes back and he's got spider legs, you know?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I think it's Community or Parks and Recreation, one of those shows.
Oh, I really want to see both of those shows.
Yeah,
he's
doing a whatchamacallit when you go up and do the whatchamacallit.
Filibuster.
He's filibustering a community meeting. And so, you know, he's got to take up time and he just starts giving this amazing, you know, his amazing, you know, idea for what the new Star Wars movie should be. And I think this was pre, you know, Force Awakens. This was what he wanted the Force Awakens to be. So, yeah. Oh, you got something to look forward to watching tonight. It's only about 5 minutes long, but it's well worth it.
Hmm. But, well, yeah. Eight.
Good episode. It's a great episode, but docked for fanficiness.
I was at 0.25 under you.
I know. I'm amazed that actually you're a little lower than me again.
You know, there's still, like I didn't bring up a lot of criticisms in this, but like I still feel like something I would have liked to have seen is them trim up the beginning and the middle a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I actually, something I would have loved to see is Savage Because we know that Savage had a brother before, and, like, that he cared for and stuff. So I would have mind to see, like, more empathy out of Savage and him being just like, you know, like, I'm here for you. Like, you know, we'll do this. We'll figure this out. I got you. So I actually, like, really would have loved a little bit of that in the end. Because we know that Savage is capable of it. Of course, he's had, like, a Frankenstein lobotomy, so I'm not surprised that it's not there. But that's something if that would have happened, where he actually, like, you know, like, got on Maul's level and was just like, look, shit's happened to me, but we'll figure it out, you know, like, we're here together
now.
We
got each other, yeah.
We're brothers, brothers. But, like, I would have really, really liked that. And that would have really, like, tipped the episode, like, really high for me. I would have probably been, like, an 8.5, or at least. But, like, I feel like a lot of the walking in the middle part and, like, looking at all, there's a lot of cool stuff of them going through the planet with, like, the fire breathers and the junkers and stuff. I still just feel like that could have been trimmed up for more of the impact.
Yeah, you could have crammed all that cool stuff in a lot less space. You could have had all of it. You wouldn't have had to cut out any of the cool stuff out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we all we needed was to see the fire breathers, like, up on their mountains eating stuff. We didn't need, like, Savage running through them and, like, dodging them.
Well,
like,
the whole part where he's following the dust and stuff like that was drawn out. They could have gotten him to the planet easier than that, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't need,
like,
a little detective arc there, yeah.
I would have much rather have that time spent in the end, because the end is really the important part. And I would have loved to have a moment of, after Maul was just like, I want revenge! And, like, he has this clarity. You can tell, like, his clarity comes back. And I would have loved the scene after that, too. Like, him, like, being like, what are we going to do? Oh, my God. Like, right. I remember everything. And Savage being like, all right, let's have a plan now.
And then like the last shot being them that commandeering a spaceship and flying off or something.
Yeah, like I needed the scene of Savage getting on his level and then the scene after it. That's what I needed in this episode to really, really push this over the top. But that didn't happen. So 7.75, and then here's why. Because this is a weird one for sure. This is a little out there. But that doesn't make it bad. Because I actually do kind of like Morley's character. Like I said, if he was there more than his time, he would have been annoying. And Savage does have a little personality, which is nice. But this is all about Maul, and this is Maul's return. And Sam Witwer is so good in voicing this character, giving him layers and layers. Within seconds, he has these layers, and he just swings back and forth between like laughing and sobbing to ranting. And I definitely am looking at this episode, unlike you, from a Rebels point of view, where I have so much more appreciation for this episode. If I hadn't seen Rebels, this would have been a very low rating. But Rebels did so much for Maul's character, and I can't not see that. And Maul just has this obsession already forming for Obi-Wan. And there's just, like, a lot of great visuals in this episode, too, like the fire breathers and stuff. So I gave it a 7.75 out of 10.
Not bad. Solid.
Yeah, 7's my average, so this is, like, definitely above average, but there's still some stuff I feel like they could have done and kind of trimmed up and added, so. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback I failed.
Wow.
We want to hear your feedback about how I feel. And you can send us feedback at iTunes, Twitter, on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show. It's been a while since we've had an iTunes review. I'd like to read an iTunes review. I check every week, and I'm just like, oh, no. So that'd be great. So if you're listening to us, drop us a line at iTunes. It'd be great. But this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Deception, which I totally misspelled right there in the doc.
Deception. All right, our first one is from Aaron Henley, and he says, so what happens when you don't tell someone that his best friend slash brother, maybe father figure, is going undercover and isn't actually dead, and then that person ends up almost killing him in a blind revenge quest, turning that person into a sociopath with no problem stabbing you through with a coherent solid beam of light? Yep.
This is my favorite comment from Alan Middleton that we've ever had.
Okay, it says, Alan Middleton, hope to Chris. You've said a lot of things. Hashtag understatement of the year. Well, Alan Middleton, let's see how you feel after this episode. Hashtag Roadrunner penis tattoo.
Oh.
Hope's saying a lot of things, too. I might have said more, but she's catching up, and some of her things are even...
I still can't believe I brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret it forever now.
Brought that up.
We're going to be in the middle of Rebels, and it's going to be Twilight of the Apprentice, and we're going to be like... And I'm going to be like, Ahsoka and Anakin fought. And you're going to be like, you know what?
Beep, beep.
That's all I'm going to have to say from now on is beep, beep.
I'm just going to be like, fuck you, Chris. You're the worst. And you're going to be like, what if Anakin has a Roadrunner on his penis?
Hope's Fathercus Tatuicus.
Stepfathercus.
Stepfathercus Tatuicus.
Yeah, my father is just like... No tattoos ever. And I'm just like, uh-oh, I have like four. And I'm planning three more. And he's like, you're crazy. And I'm like, I don't care. Give me all the tattoos. If I had more money, I would already have so many more tattoos. You don't even know. I already have three planned out. I'm waiting to get them. One is a fulcrum for Ahsoka and for Callus. I'm going to get the fulcrum symbol on my forearm. Well,
someday we got to get Hope's tattoo GoFundMe going.
I can't wait.
Go tattoo me site. All right, we got one from Paul C. Kelly, who's been on the show now. Wow, I was going to reference Face Off, but Chris called it. Yes, I did. The writers of this one def used the movie as a foundation for this idea. I'm sure they did. I'm Caster Troy. Woo! I'm Rocco Hardin. Woo! Oh my God! Wouldn't it have been great if they got Nick Cage for this this episode.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Sean Archer, as he is almost beating the guy to death, had the same awful feeling as Obi-Wan when he stabbed Shark Guy's hand. Yep. I did like how they had the quick reference to Boba and tied him into Cad Bane as a mentor. So watching the prequel trilogy movies... Only I would say Anakin himself was completely responsible for his turn to the dark side. But after seeing this one, not so much. Hope, multiverses are awesome, by the way. In the candy conversation, you were talking about Pokemon multiverses.
Yeah, I still... You know, Pokemon Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon came out, and I won't be able to buy it anytime soon because Christmas presents. Stupid nieces and nephews. I love them. So we didn't pick our candy.
Once again... Hope and I forgot before the episode to pick out a candy, so I'm going
to... I only have, like, four left.
I know, I'm just realizing that. I thought there were so many more.
Five left. These are a lot bigger, though. I have five left.
Yeah, these are all good... Like three of the five are decent size, like...
Does that bar say UNICEF? Oh,
it says UNICEF. Let's do that one, then. That looks like another wafer one, right? Doesn't it? It sure looks shaped, yeah. And it feels light like a wafer.
Grandeur Unica, not UNICEF.
All right. Where are
Where's this one from?
Where are my notes on this? Yeah, where does the Unica come from?
I'm looking right now. Thanks, Chappuccino.
Beirut, Lebanon.
The Lion Bar, Toggies, Rain and Grease, Extra Milk Company.
Made by M.O. Gandor and Sons, Beirut, Lebanon.
Do I not have the right list? Maybe I have the wrong list. I have two lists came out of this box. Here we go.
It's Lebanese.
Unica Bar is from the Philippines.
The Philippines? It says, okay, maybe he got it in the Philippines. It says it's made in Beirut, Lebanon.
Maybe. Well, if you're wondering what we're doing.
Maybe it says that right on the back. Go look, turn it over. Look on the back. There's even... See? Under all those little, Alright.
What looks like Arabic? Well, if you don't know what we're doing...
Exactly, enough talk.
Chris doesn't like American Kit Kat, so our friend Dario Gonzalez, who you will hear in the 100th episode, and also Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It Beat It, is a flight attendant, and he sends us candy from all over the world. Ooh, this one smells good.
This one's a good one. This is wafer candy. Really heavy on the wafer. Which I like. It's got that not... when the more wafer you have, the less sweet you have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like this one a lot.
I'm
Me too. It's not as sweet because I'm not like into super sweet stuff. There's so much wafer though. Mix it a touch on the dry side, just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Just barely.
I like them a little on the dry side, so this is right up my alley.
I like them a little bit on the wet side.
But it's just got the thinnest layer of chocolate on it. Very good, very good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dario. This is really tasty. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Because that's how the internet does it. Full of just millions of tasty podcasts of all types. Yeah. They're coming out. They're just popping out like crazy. There should be one out by now that I just did with Trentus Magnus, where we're talking about the just scandals running through Hollywood. If you want to hear more talk about that, which I'm sure everybody's just dying to, I'm sure they're not sick of that at all. They definitely won't be sick of our perspective. It's a little different perspective because we're two weirdos. What else? There should be a whole bunch of stuff. There was somebody's podcast that I was going to mention, and I can't remember now who it was. I saw one of their podcasts came out, and I go, oh, you know what? I never mentioned these guys on Jay Guys and Jedi, and they're really good.
It looks like a required reading, just a Jane Eyre.
That's a podcast that I should promote more because, god damn it, read, people. And if you took that podcast, I think they're up to like 8 episodes now. They might even be a bunch more than that. They're
at episode 13.
13 already. Yeah, that, you know, treat them sort of like a Oprah's book club, you know what I mean? It's a little more work than like saying watching an episode of Clone Wars and listening to us, but yeah, you got two teachers talking about books on Two True Freaks. So, yeah, how can you go wrong? And we got a Facebook page with tons of stuff. I know what I wanted to mention. I just remembered. Well, Gene just did a thread where he was, you know, bringing up that there's a lot of Facebook pages for other, you know, podcasts have their own Facebook page separate from the Two True Freaks page in the Cantina. But I also remembered, because I just posted something on it, There's a Two True Freaks sound film score appreciation page where you can go to post film music and listen to film music.
Yeah, I keep meaning to do that, and I keep forgetting to, because there's a lot of film scores that I really love.
I just went and saw John Carpenter last night, the filmmaker, but with his band playing music from all his movies. And I took some video of it, so I put some video up on the Two True Freaks film score appreciation page. And the people who are on that page are really into film scores, so you get, like, you know, you get some neat stuff posted up there. So that was one of the things I wanted to remind people of. We have a Twitter page run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Boom, 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 boom. Gene. You'll get that
Gene. I like saying hi, Gene, because it sounds like also that you should be, like, brushing your teeth.
You'll understand what we mean when you get to the 100th episode.
After 100th episode, it'll all be clear, yeah, why we just did that. But otherwise, yeah, we're all over the place. So check out all that stuff. TwoTrueFreaks.com will have all of our podcasts posted on it. But then again, so will the Facebook page and so will the Twitter page. So where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at Jacobs and Jedi. I run our Twitter accounts. And you can also find me at Hope Molinex. I'm also the news writer for What the Fangirl, though I'm taking this month off because I'm doing NaNoWriMo. Yeah. So it's
which is different than doing BananaRama.
No, yeah. Yeah. Probably be more fun. But I'm getting a lot of work done. So, yeah. I'm up to 100 pages on book 2. So, yeah. It's working, I guess. I just don't sleep a lot, and it's been a crazy week because I had to go to North Carolina for Thanksgiving in 2 days. So, yeah!
Gotta work for that art. Hope you gotta work for that art.
Yeah, and then come home.
Bleed and sweat.
Oh, my favorite is I go up to North Carolina on Wednesday, and then we're having Thanksgiving lunch on Thursday, and then I leave Thanksgiving lunch and drive 3 hours home to work 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Thursday.
Whoa.
The mall's open for mall on Thanksgiving is dumb.
Oh, that's right. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, and then I get to work Black Friday, and then Saturday. Yeah! Well, I will say, Saturday is Small Business Saturday. Well, it is not going to matter. This is going to come out after Thanksgiving. Well, just support your small businesses. Like your local comic
store. I'm working on Black Friday, but I'm working in a business that gets... We're closing early on Black Friday because we don't get any business. We're far away from malls and all that stuff, so it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a nice, quiet... Things are going to get real clean on Friday.
Well, see, like, I originally volunteered for the Thanksgiving shift because, one, I get time and a half, which is always nice.
Yeah.
But, two, I wanted to avoid working 6 a.m. on Friday because I am not a morning person. Like, I just don't do mornings at all. Like, I'm a terrible morning person.
Amen.
And so I volunteered the Thursday shift so I could close on Black Friday. But then a lot of stuff with my family happened, so I have to make a quick trip to North Carolina and then come back. So, yeah, we had a family emergency, and it didn't end well, so that's a thing. So I'm going to go be my mom. So,
well, bring her a bottle of wine for me.
I will.
That's
so good.
I want to know if your mom... Tell your mom that I said she's got to watch The Orville.
She does watch The Orville.
Oh, good, good.
She's a big fan of it, so...
I want to know what your mom thinks of Discovery, then.
I don't know if she's watched Discovery yet. But I know that she watches Orville because when Hurricane Irma was coming through and knocked out all her power because she lives in Florida and stuff, and she was like, I better get my power back by Tuesday.
Aha! I love it.
So yeah, she was very excited when they got their generator working so she could at least watch the Orville. She was like, forget everything in the refrigerator. We have to have the power back so I can watch this.
I totally feel her. I totally feel her on that one.
It was actually the premiere episode, the pilot episode. She had been really looking forward to it, and then a hurricane came through, and she was like, nope, we must have our power back by Tuesday. So, yeah. I don't know what she thinks of it, though. That's a good question. I guess she still watches it. I think she does. So I assume that she does. Fun. We should just have my mom on again, which means I just need to take a trip to Florida.
Yes, we should. Well, yeah, it's too bad we couldn't have her on in time for episode 100. That would be fun to have her on for 100.
If it wasn't for bad reasons, I'm seeing her in 2 days, but I don't think she's up for that.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think it's going to be the same.
It's not going to be as fun, so I'm just gonna not speak in tongues anymore. My aunt passed away, so my mom is it was my mom's sister, so we're going up to the funeral instead of Thanksgiving. So hooray! Yeah, I say.
She's not gonna want to drink wine and talk Star Trek with me.
Nah, I say callously to hide my own feelings and stress. Yay! So, but it'll be good to see my mom again and see Mr. Beep Beep stepdad.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We'll
beep,
see
beep.
You next week, you guys. Beep, beep. Oh, beep, beep. God. Pew! Why did I do that? Beep, beep.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord Randall, my son? Oh, make my bed soon, for I'm weary from hunting.